Hi, everybody. Thanks so much for being here today. As you know, our topic is educating Wisconsin's renewable workforce. Our presenters today are Jenny Heinzen from MREA, Midwest Renewable Energy Association, myself, Amy Seaboth-Wilson from UW-Platteville, Kenneth Waltz from Madison College, and Sarah Winju from the KEEP program with, I want to say it right, what's the full KEEP program stand for? The Wisconsin K-12 Energy Education Program. Thank you. So today I am going to make a few opening comments, and then each of our presenters will introduce themselves in a little bit more detail, and then we'll have some questions, and at the end we'll have time for Q&A, so be thinking about whether or not you've got questions at the end. First, before I begin, who's in the audience? Do we have people who are looking to employ people within the renewable energy workforce? Yeah, a few of you guys, potential employers, cool. Do we have other educators within the audience? Great. And do we have students, too? A few students? Sweet, that's a great mix. Are we missing anybody? Is anybody from any other grouping?
I'm curious if there's any
K-12. Oh, sorry. State government, great. And K-12 educators specifically, anybody from that world? Not today. Oh, yeah, we do. Great. Nice. And I saw one last hand in the back. What organization type are you from?
No, I'm state government.
State government. Okay, perfect. Well, welcome, everybody. We're here today because, as you heard this morning, if you heard other talks, we've been talking a lot about this boon in the renewable energy industry in Wisconsin, that we're expecting to see a giant uptick in solar and wind. And with that uptick will also come need for a workforce to help staff it, right? We expect that that workforce is going to have all different kinds of needs. It's going to be not just installers. We will need business managers, financers, project managers, graphic design, and PR people, right? So I just want to begin by acknowledging that when we're talking about the renewable energy workforce, it really is a very broad-based workforce that we're looking at creating here. Our panelists represent all different backgrounds within that workforce. We have K-12 represented. We have two forms of higher education, the technical college and a university. And then we also have informal education that can meet all different needs for people at any point within their career. Today, these different educators are going to speak about their different perspectives and what their organizations bring to the table and can help do to prepare us for that giant boon that we're expecting. So, each of us are going to now do a really quick introduction. And this is where things are going to get weird as I figure out the PowerPoint. But I'm going to begin by talking just briefly about UW-Platteville. Here at UW-Platteville, we have what's called the Sustainable and Renewable Energy Systems major. And this is a major and a renewable energy minor. The major began in 2012. We've had about 60 graduates now, so we're graduating about 15 people per year, give or take. At the moment, there's about 60 students enrolled in this degree. And I want to point out that there's two different tracks you can take within the degree to recognize that there's a huge breadth and depth of people who are going to be needed in this renewable energy field. So one of the tracks is design analysis, and that's very technical. That's looking at the energy waste reduction operational and process improvement facets within industry. So it's people who are more math-minded, engineering-minded, typically. The second track we have is development and management, and that is inventory specialist, logistics expert, project manager. It's much more of that businessy mindset, and so the students in that track tend to take a little bit less of the technical classes, but will focus more on business typically. We have a minor as well. That minor began a few years before the major. It started in 2008. We have about 120 students enrolled in this time. The minor is most popular, like 90% of the people in it, are from mechanical, electrical, or civil engineering. We also will see some students occasionally from a poli-sci background, a business background, and even an agriculture background. That minor provides broad-based knowledge, so in that context, the program's really striving to introduce general concepts of renewable energy and sustainability to these students who are going to be technical experts in their other degree field. And the program coordinator is Dr. Pamela Taj, so if anybody has questions, there's a website and her contact information. I should add that I myself am not faculty at UW-Platteville. I work in facilities management as a sustainability coordinator. So I coincide with a lot of what's going on in the Sustainable Renewable Energy Systems degree program. I've been on the advisory board for 6 years. I work often with the students in applied contexts. But this program has an interdisciplinary palette of faculty from across campus with Pamela, Taj, and Ilke Celik as the two primary faculty now. So I'm going to pass you on next to Sarah to talk a little bit about what she does.
And let me pull up your presentation, or try to. That's not it. There it is. Thank you. All right. Hello, everyone. I'm really happy to be here because I feel like so much of the time that K-12 perspective is missing, especially starting at that kindergarten level, which we all need to think about as we talk about energy careers, careers in the energy and renewable energy industry. So thank you for being here today. So I wanted to introduce KEEP and who KEEP is. I'm just curious, how many of you have heard of KEEP? Oh, good. Good. Well, for those of you who haven't, KEEP stands for the K-12 Energy Education Program. We are a program within the Wisconsin Center for Environmental Education, within the College of Natural Resources at UW-Stevens Point. So we're buried. That's where our office is. That's where our home base is. But we are a statewide program. So we do work throughout the state with districts and teachers and other educational organizations across the state. We are funded by the six utilities you see there on the screen. So they do provide our base funding on a yearly basis to be able to provide the educational resources, professional development curriculum for teachers. So our goal really is to increase energy literacy. And what that means is to prepare teachers, schools, non-formal educators who work like 4-H, scouting groups, nature centers across the state. So it looks different, you know, wherever you go. There's always something different that teachers need, educators need, and that schools need to increase energy literacy. We did start because there was a baseline study that was done about 25, 30 years ago, which really showed there was a lack of some basic energy skills from students in 4th, 8th, and 12th grade. A lot of students, about half of the students surveyed, didn't understand what our primary source of energy was on Earth, and other interesting concepts that we really want to make sure that students have that understanding of energy as they move through their K-12 career and then decide where to go after that. So some of those basic and major concepts were missing, which really prompted the development of a comprehensive K-12 program. So we do through three main pieces. Teacher professional development is probably the biggest piece that we offer. So we have teacher professional development workshops that we offer around the state, whether it's directly at schools in the districts so teachers can participate. It's really hard a lot of times for teachers to leave school, which is why there's not many here today. So we go to the teachers. We go to the schools. We want to provide them that professional development at their location. Or we provide workshops around the state at hopefully really exciting locations which features renewable energy systems and other energy-related sites, so they can learn from those sites and make those community connections and learn from the experts at those locations. Another piece that we offer is the curriculum and resources. So a lot of teachers and schools, they don't have the funds to purchase resources to teach some of these concepts, and they need the hands-on tools, that technology that really gets students excited about energy. We don't want to just teach energy from a textbook. We want it to really be meaningful and purposeful and connecting them with those hands-on engagement that gets them excited about what energy is, where it comes from, and why should I care about energy? So it really starts at that baseline foundational level of what energy is at that kindergarten level. We also develop curriculum, which you see there on the screen, and I did bring a couple examples here today in case you are interested in looking at it at the end of the session, that provides the teachers ready-to-go activities so they can just the next day run with some activities and start to integrate energy into not just science, but social studies classes, English language arts, tech ed, family and consumer sciences, math. We want to be able to help teachers across the curriculum, across disciplines, integrate energy into whatever it is they're already teaching. And then finally, another opportunity we offer is that student engagement piece. So a lot of times that teachers want us to come into their classrooms. How do I do this? How do I teach these concepts? So we can model classroom lessons, engage students in becoming energy audit professionals as students. So empower the students to learn how to use these tools, do mini audits of their school buildings, really become the leaders in their school as students. And so we can lead a lot of these activities at that student level as well. Here is just some quick contact information. Feel free to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, my contact information. And I'll pass it off to Ken.
Next. Okay.
Thank you.
I'll pull you up. I think you were. Oh gosh, guys, sorry. There's
multiple.
Kind of difficult to look at the.
Yeah, your screen doesn't match that one up there. Here you go.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's good to see you all here today. My name is Ken Walls. I'm from Madison Area Tech College. It's a pleasure to share with you a little bit about what our school is and what we do. At Madison College, we have a renewable energy certificate program. Certificate started in 2005. I've been at the school since 2003, so I've got to witness the growth of it over the course of my time there. The way the certificate is set up is that any student in any of our traditional academic programs can earn the certificate along with their associate degree in another field. So, for example, a student in our construction or our architecture program can take an additional 12 credits of renewable energy coursework and learn how to build a solar-ready home. Or a student in our electrical apprentice program can take their renewable energy certificate and become an electrician that can install solar electric systems. Or students in our engineering programs can also complete this and then be able to design solar systems. We have about 50 students in that program pursuing coursework right now. And if you haven't heard the message already, these are really fast growing jobs. Bureau of Labor Statistics have shown that solar and wind employment is the two largest, fastest growing areas of the economy projected for the next decade. And these are jobs that pay a family supporting wage. They can't be outsourced, they can't be done by robots, and they benefit society. So that's a really nice message to share with our students. I can also say we have more employers looking for students than we have students coming through the doors in the pipeline right now. So if you know anybody interested in these areas, we'd love to have you steer them our way. We've been working with the National Science Foundation to try and build pipelines into these careers. The big challenge here is if you're a young person that's skilled in science, technology, engineering, and math, there's not a lot of good career awareness in the renewable energy industry. If you're a young person that's interested in nursing, you probably have a relative, a friend, a neighbor who is a nurse. It's a really well-established career pathway, right? You become a certified nursing assistant, you become an LPN, then you become an RN, you might become a nurse practitioner, you get your doctorate of nursing practice, right? There's all these on-ramps and off-ramps. It's a pretty clear-cut pathway. That is not the state for the renewable energy field. And if a student is interested, they talk to their high school guidance counselors, they talk to their high school teachers, oftentimes they don't know how to advise those students. The National Science Foundation has funded the Center for Renewable Energy Advanced Tech Ed. Madison College is the lead school for that organization, and the whole function of CREATE is to do educator outreach. We run a solar institute every year for 3 days in July, targeted at high school STEM teachers. We bring those teachers to Madison, and for 3 days at our campus, we walk them through a full residential solar installation. The first day, they get hard hats and tools, and then they work through that process. And that's not because we're trying to train them to be installers. It's because we're trying to teach them about the profession and about career awareness so they can go share that with their students. If any of you know high school teachers that might be interested, stop by our exhibit, pick up our information. We provide funding for that. We put them up in a hotel. They get paid a stipend to attend, and they also earn graduate credit for the experience. So it's a really nice thing funded by the National Science Foundation. A couple other things on Madison College. 2 years ago, our school created a solar roadmap where we looked at all of our campuses and all of our buildings. We operate 13 campuses, 20-some buildings, and our goal was to try and get solar on all of those facilities. So we spent about 9 months doing site assessments, feasibility analysis, and prioritizing projects. We're now in the execution stage. We've completed the first two. The third one we began in December, and we'll be hopefully completing a few more solar installations later this summer. I'll show you just two. Last year at this time, I was just announcing that we were having a ribbon cutting. So this is Madison College's flagship campus. It's right next to the airport here in Madison. That's a 1.85 megawatt, 1,850 kilowatt system on our roof. That's the largest rooftop system in Wisconsin right now. Just to put that in perspective, that building from one end to the other is about a quarter of a mile long. There's about 8 acres worth of solar on that roof. It's 5,700 solar panels. It saves the college about $250,000 a year on our electric bill, which is, kind of amazing. The most recent system that we just commissioned, Michael Vickerman shared a picture of this system earlier today. We commissioned this in September. That's a 125-kilowatt system that, at our brand-new building at the Goodman South campus. The important thing about that is the college has sort of taken a position that any new construction that we do will A, be minimum LEED silver compliant, and B, include solar on the roof. So we've set a minimum expectation for what all of our facilities will be like going forward into the future. I wanted to just share a little bit of a personal note with you too, to kind of humanize my remarks. Students oftentimes ask me, you know, what energizes me to be an advocate for renewables? I guess that's kind of a pun. I didn't intend it that way. So that's a question that I actually have a little bit of a different answer for these days. Thanks to this young lady here. This is my daughter, Caitlin Alexandra. And you're looking at her most recent birthday present there. She got a new pair of skis. We've been looking forward to skiing on Christmas. If you recall, Christmas, there wasn't any snow, and here in Madison, it was 55 degrees on Christmas Day. That's not exactly normal. I do know the difference between weather and climate. I know there's people in the world that don't. But I can tell you one day's temperature is not climate. That's not evidence of global warming. That's just a data point, right? But if you take hundreds of thousands of data points and you put them together and you look at what's happening with our weather over a big region, we can see a big difference between the climate of 40 years ago when I grew up and was this age and what's happening now. The snow cover, the ice cover is not the same as what I had when I was a kid growing up. And what I'd really like to be able to say is when Caitlin's 20 years old and comes to school at my technical college, that she's still able to ski in Wisconsin would be nice. But, you know, more importantly, I'd like for her to be able to say that when she was a little kid, the grown-ups saw that there was a problem and we didn't ignore it. We didn't put our heads in the sand and pretend it didn't exist. We didn't wring our hands and worry if, as the richest nation in the world, we could afford to, you know, do something about it. No, we saw a problem, and we just fixed it, right? That the grown-ups just did something. So the other thing I wanted to share is that this shouldn't be a political issue. In my family, we have liberals, we have conservatives, we have non-ideological relatives. including some elected public officials from both the Democratic and the Republican Party. Holidays in my family are really interesting. You get some pretty vigorous discussions, as you might imagine. But, you know, one thing we can all agree on is that we want a better future for our kids, and nobody really disputes that. Now, I think it'd be naive for me just to stand here and say, because I say it's not a political issue, that it's going to be that way. But we can't just write off 40% of the public and still expect to be able to achieve 100% clean energy. We need to have everybody working on this issue if we're going to achieve that sort of grand transformation. Which means I need to keep talking to my aunts and uncles and cousins and educating them and persuading them. And hopefully, you know, some of you can also have conversations like that. As sitting here thinking about it, I thought, you know, there's probably some people that still believe things that our president has to say. Some of you might know people that actually think that global warming is a hoax perpetrated by the Chinese because Twitter said so. I have some cousins that think that way. If we're successful in transitioning to 100% clean energy, it doesn't matter what you think about global warming, because we will have cleaner air. We will have saved hundreds of thousands of lives from respiratory illness. We'll have gone a long ways towards minimizing childhood asthma. We'll have made our electrical grid more resilient to national disasters and extreme weather. And we'll have employed thousands of people in well-paying, family-supporting jobs. And those are messages that I think everybody can get on board with. So that's sort of what energizes me to be interested in renewable energy education, and what makes me really happy to share the stage with all these other people doing renewable energy education. And it's a pleasure to see all of you here today.
And last but certainly not least, you guys, the bottom bar went away.
Wait, it sure did.
Where's my mouse?
I don't think I did it.
Where's the bottom bar?
Oh, you can't even.
It came back on this side. This is very confusing.
That's you.
Yeah, perfect.
I think. Yay. Okay. That's me.
But now the mouse needs to go back in there. What's the shortcut for opening up a PowerPoint to full screen? Anybody know? F5? Wow, this is a Macintosh. Guys, I'm hopeless. This is so funny, I can't get the mouse. There it is. It went the wrong way. It's just in reverse. Got it.
A reverse mouse.
All right.
Perfect. All right, thank you. Hi, everybody. My name is Jenny Heinzen. I'm with the Midwest Renewable Energy Association. Everybody just calls us the MREA for short. A lot of people know us in the Wisconsin area anyways as having this amazing event every June as the Energy Fair, where we get about 10 or 12,000 people to come over a weekend and talk about all things renewable and sustainable, and it's a big party, and it's kid-friendly, and it's awesome. Sometimes people don't realize that we do something besides that energy fair also, and that's year-long training, mostly in photovoltaics. We do offer training, solar electricity, that is. We do also offer some courses and some training in, like, solar hot water systems, small wind energy systems. We've got some courses you can take to learn how to use the National Electrical Code a little bit. But really, honestly, 95% of our students are there for the photovoltaics, for the PV technology. I think that's for many reasons, cost, the maintenance issues, the warranties that come on the PV modules, and the reliability of the system being maintenance-free. So here is a picture from a workshop we just did in beautiful Luck, Wisconsin, if anybody knows where Luck is in northern Wisconsin. We put about 10 kilowatts of PV on a commercial building over there, and had a bunch of students come that were anywhere from, how do you pronounce that P photovoltaic? How do you pronounce that word? We had everybody from that level to journeymen and master electricians and roofers who knew what they were doing, but just never had really wired up solar panels before. So it's a lot of fun. And that, I think that really summarizes what we do at the MREA the best. We offer courses and training and education through our Energy Fair workshops for anybody from the extreme novice. I don't understand how energy works. Where do the holes in the wall, where do they come from? All the way up through, again, you know, journeymen and master tradespeople and their continuing education needs. We've been around since 1991, so I think we know what we're doing. I think we get a little bit better at it every year. But again, yeah, most of our training that we offer is in photovoltaics, or PV for short. The way that we shape our curriculum and choose what courses we teach and when we teach them and how we teach them is basically from our industry certification board called NABCEP, the North American Board of Certified Energy Practitioners. Just about anybody who is interested in becoming a renewable energy professional has probably looked at that website or heard that acronym once or twice before, NABCEP. So that's what we really strive to make sure that we're meeting the needs of, is what NABCEP says they're going to put on the test. So if you want to be a PV installer, if you want to do PV technical sales, or if you want to be a PV designer, NABCEP lays out, this is what you should be able to know, this is what you should be able to do, and we intentionally teach to that standard. So it's a little bit different of a choice for students. I mean, college, technical colleges are a great choice to get a good education and great certificates. We've got people here from Madison and Mid-States and a lot of other tech colleges. I used to work for Lakeshore Tech. We had a wind program there. Tech colleges are great. Associate programs are great. The MREA is a little bit more just focused in our delivery, though. We offer courses specifically like Come and Take PV 101. Okay. Once you pass PV 101, you can take site assessment. Then you can take the third and final course, PV system design. That's your on-ramp. That is your entry-level ability to sit for your first sort of certification test. So we had to prove to NABCEP that the contents within our three courses, in our case, we have three separate courses. Within those three courses, you'll learn what you should know to pass that test, that first entry-level on-ramp test. So most of the students that we see coming to the MREA who want their professional training in solar, those are the three courses that they take just sort of to basically get started. One, two, three. I have to brag a little bit. Our pass rates at the MREA for this NABCEP associate, for the traditional student anyway, is right around 95% right now. So about 95% of our students that come either to the classroom trainings or take them online are passing that entry-level exam and moving their way forward and becoming or moving their way on maybe to the next certification that's offered. So we do also beyond that then offer some courses that are what NABCEP calls advanced training. PV sales and finance, PV operation and maintenance, battery-based PV systems, a lot of more complex classes that can be used as advanced training to sit for that next level certification, or for people who already have their certification and need to maintain it by taking so many hours of continuing education every so many years. This is also the case for a lot of people, myself included, who hold any sort of state license as either an electrician or building contractor, where you need to prove that you've had continuing education related to your field throughout so many credits per year. So we've got almost all of our courses approved with Minnesota, Iowa, and Wisconsin for those tradespeople that need continuing education, and we do get some of our folks in to take our classes that way. Like, I don't know, I needed 12 hours of continuing education, and I saw your thing. I thought solar would be cool. And I love those because, just like me, you come into this world as an electrician, and suddenly you're introduced to this magical solar panel that like makes electricity out of sunlight, and it's very sexy and it's really interesting. Is that the wrong word to use? I'm being recorded too.
I'm not sure
my way. Well, maybe wind is sexy. So that's really in a nutshell what we do. We offer all sorts of training for anybody, you know, no experience, no vocabulary even necessarily required. We get people in our online courses from all over the world. We get people coming to our solar training academies. I'm getting ahead of myself. That's on the next slide. Anyway, we do serve a great amount of people, everywhere from high school students to maybe some people who are in college and just want to kind of nibble at something else while they're in college, to I'm changing my careers to lifelong learners. And then on top of that, just I own a home and I want to put solar on my house. So can I come take 101? And like, absolutely. In our 101 class, you can learn everything, not everything you need to know, but the real basics about how solar works and what it would cost and about what size would fit your needs. So we are officially accredited by the Interstate Renewable Energy Council. Our courses, when you take them in Wisconsin, are approved for GI Bill benefits reimbursement. So we are veteran friendly. Spread the word. And again, we offer continuing education for people who need it as professionals in their field. So, yeah, and again, you know, instead of going to a college-level course or an associate program where you take your English classes and your math classes and your speech classes and everything else, this is really just concentrating on the technology in your face. You can take a lot more than that, but that's what we really, I think, tend to focus on is giving people what they want on a schedule that fits their schedule at affordable prices and have a flexibility to kind of move around. So we have online courses, which are quite popular. We do offer lots of classroom and hands-on lab training at our facilities, which is headquartered in Custer, Wisconsin, right next door to Sarah at Stevens Point. So we're about 7 miles away from Stevens Point, not too far. It's where we have our energy fair every year, in case you've ever been there. So we offer those kinds of classes. And then we also have some contract training, focused on energy, for example. We're doing some contract training with them next month that includes this 101, 201, 202 sequence. They've got about a dozen people they would like to go in and get their associate so that they're a little more well-versed and educated and on SolarWorks and have a credential behind their name. Very popular and going on right now at this time of the year, from January basically through almost May, Weekend Warriors. We call them the Solar Training Academies, where, again, you're getting this basic coursework, the entry-level path. It includes a textbook. It includes the test at the end. It includes a lab course and some exam prep. We offer these in Eau Claire. We just got done with our Eau Claire training. We've got, I think, about 11 people that are ready to sit for their exam there. Milwaukee training is underway. Twin Cities is underway. This coming weekend, we start in Bloomington, Illinois. Weekend after that, we start going in Kankakee, Illinois. If anybody knows somebody from the Cedar Rapids area that needs some training, we need some students. We are trying. We shifted from Dubuque to Cedar Rapids this year, so we're hoping to fill up that class. And then finally, and already filled, is our Deerfield location. Good to get to for like Milwaukee-Madison kind of people, too. So whether you want to do it online, whether you want to do it, like come to the MREA and camp out at our facilities for a week and take all these classes sort of accelerated in a week or take a lab course, or be that weekend warrior over 2 or 3 months and earn that certification that way. So that's really what we're probably best at. We have about 1,200 students that come through our doors a year. And by doors, I mean online doors, too. but we're good at what we do. We've been doing it a long time. We partner with a lot of different institutions. We hire instructors that are in the field and working and know what they're doing. So we've got a good thing going. And I think I didn't put a slide on here with my contact information. Whoops. Anyway, MREA, Google us. I'm Jenny. And I think my name's in the program, too. Thank you.
Thanks, Jenny.
So that was a little bit about the backgrounds of each of the presenters. And in classic form, as educators, this group is very excited to share and educate with you. And we have eaten through most of our time. So, in order to give you folks time to ask your questions, I'd like to skip the questions I had lined up and just ask first if anybody in the audience has a burning question that they would like to pose to the group of panelists. Yes. Alex, right, we'll bring a microphone over to you, and we just ask that everybody speak into the microphone because this is being recorded.
Okay. what opportunities are there to reach underrepresented groups or minority groups that may not have traditionally have access to these good paying jobs?
Well, just to start off, not jobs specifically, but just access, and I wanted to make sure to say this before we do run out of time, but I wanted to make sure that everyone here feels empowered to just reach out to your local schools, wherever you are, to make those connections so that all students, and that is our goal, that all students have some type of opportunity and exposure to energy experiences, energy careers by the time they graduate high school. So, you know, that, I mean, that's across the whole state, across the whole country, across the whole world. I would love to just see every student having exposure to some type of, whether it's a field trip, a guest speaker, but make, you know, you all can make those connections with your local schools. There are over 4,000 schools in Wisconsin, so over 400 school districts. There's endless opportunities. They don't know how, teachers and schools don't know how to, and they don't have time to, like, figure out who do I go to, how do I do this. So they really need you as the experts in the energy community to help them expose students so that they do go on to hopefully higher ed and careers in the energy industry.
Is this one on?
Yep.
So I agree with everything Sarah just said. You had asked about underrepresented students. The picture I showed of our Goodman South campus at Madison College, that school was specifically built in an area in Madison where we serve a lot of our underrepresented groups. And it was very intentional that we put solar at that building specifically for that reason. And that's also why with our solar roadmap, we're trying to put solar on all of our buildings so that all of our students are exposed to that technology. I think generally speaking, for other tech colleges in the state, when you look at higher education, the technical colleges tend to serve a lot more of the underrepresented groups. One big underrepresented groups in the skilled trades is actually women in the trades. And I'm happy to say in our renewable energy certificate program, we have about 30% female students, which is actually a lot better than our other STEM fields compared to some of our engineering courses. There's a lot more interest in the renewable energy field. Just to piggyback on what Sarah mentioned, I would challenge all of you folks here when you leave today, if you want to do one thing to kind of stimulate renewable energy education in your community, if there is one big thing that I would really like to see happen is that every one of those 450 school districts in the state could create a solar roadmap similar to what we did at Madison College to put solar on their schools as well. Every one of those 450 school districts has a school board, and if you reach out to a school board member, that's probably the easiest public official to make contact with. They will return your call. They will be responsive. It's not like writing to a congressman that has tons of lobbyists and campaign donors beating down their door for attention. You can approach a school board member pretty easily, and it would be great to see more initiatives like that happening.
Jenny, would you like to address this question?
Julie, help me with the acronym, SAFER.
Actually, SAFER is not an acronym.
Oh, it is. Okay. I thought it was an acronym.
SAFER Foundation,
out of Chicago area.
Yes.
We've been working with them a whole lot with some underrepresented groups.
Yeah, they work with returning citizens who have been released from prison.
Right. Minnesota Department of Corrections. We've been doing a lot of work kind of outreaching in those non-traditional aspects through our I guess you'd call it contract training. The organizations tend to reach out to us and like, can you help? We would like to give our, you know, we'd like to, you know, this, you know, the boot camp, for example, at the Minnesota Department of Corrections. So they usually tend to come to us, but I like what Sarah said about educating at a very young age. I think that's got to be the best way to do it.
So creating that pipeline. So I'd just like to add from UW-Platteville's perspective, we are one of the most affordable four-year institutions in the state of Wisconsin. And what we'll often see, which is interesting, is students come to the university with the hope of being an engineering major, because they weren't even aware of the renewable energy program. And what we'll often see is a fair number of the students enrolling the sustainable renewable energy program are switching from the engineering degree over to the sustainable renewable energy degree. And so what I like to think about Platteville is by creating a really affordable four-year education and serving as that entry point through engineering, we're actually introducing a lot of students to this new degree, this new field that they weren't really aware of. I will line up as well, though, that it would be wonderful to see more students coming to UW-Platteville and seeking out a four-year degree in renewable energy, and that's where we have to begin really, again, at that young age with the K-12 and introducing them to that really early. We have 5 minutes. Would anybody else like to ask a question before we shift? Okay, then I'd like to ask one final question of the panelists. I think you've all addressed this a little bit, and maybe the answer has already been said that we'd like to start at the K-12, but if you could do one transformative thing to help make sure that we're helping prepare the workforce for this new renewable energy boon, what would it be?
You had to pick the hardest question on our list. You know, it's hard to pick one absolute transformative thing that could change our world for the better. But I really honestly am a big believer in state-mandated RPSs, that as much as I would like to believe what someone said earlier this morning about people just want it, and so if the people want it, the people will make it happen, yes and no. I don't know if I trust humanity enough to say, like, okay, we all want the same thing, so we're all just going to go do it. If that were the case, we wouldn't still see plastic bags and plastic straws and incandescent light bulbs. I really think some sort of, whether you call it an RPS or a state mandate or whatever it happens to be, I really think that making it a requirement is what's going to change our world for the better. So that my two cents, personal opinion, you can throw rotten tomatoes at me if you want. But I really think that without somebody telling us big hand, like, you have to do this, I'm honestly not sure it's going to get done.
Just quick note, this is how they do it in Europe. In many countries, including like Germany, for example, it is required, for example, in the building industry, right, that every new building or building that's up for renovation has to pass energy efficiency. Right. So it's not by, it has to be required by the government. So it's a big help from the government.
Yeah, and at the same point, if you were building a house or if somebody were building a house and you just said, yeah, just build what you want, put it where you want, people going to do it the right way? Probably not.
Gary, would you like to add?
Yeah, I'll maybe piggyback on that a little bit. I think we just completed a trip to Germany, so I'm very familiar with that situation. I think the difference there is Germany, you see leadership at a national level, and that's not going to happen with our dysfunctional federal government anytime soon. I think where you can see those kinds of things implemented is on a local level. Approaching a school board and adopting a resolution that just says all new construction will be minimum LEED silver compliant with solar on the roof, that costs nothing for them to do right now, but it sets an expectation of what all future construction will be for that district. And that's an easy thing that could be implemented right away on a local level.
Yeah. City of Minneapolis, great example. Sorry. City of Minneapolis, great example.
And I just want to reiterate that local piece. Something transformative that we all can do is be your local champion. All local municipalities, school districts need that local champion, and we all need to be that local champion to help the next generation become the future installers and the policymakers, and they're our future. So we need to reach out and make those connections and build those relationships.
So there we have it. Let's all go home and tell our local school districts to call the KEEP program and get Sarah very, 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 very busy.
We can help make connections in your local district if you want to know, like, who already in my district is interested. Who already in my district is interested and taking workshops and wants to do this? We can help connect you with those local teachers and principals that are already interested to help make that connection easier if you want to do that.
So I want to give everybody at the panelists a thank you round of applause for being here. And thank you all for coming and for everything that you are doing to build the renewable energy industry up. The next session begins in 10 minutes. So you've got about 10 minutes to take care of anything before we head on out. Thanks.